The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
If you have your Bibles, James 5, I want to read just two verses, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now James begins his book by saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or many and varied trials and troubles in your life. I don't know about you, but I really like to count it all joy when I don't fall into trials and troubles and difficulties. But James admonishes us and says to us, count it all joy when you do. For God always has a purpose for every trouble and trial that comes our way. And we know as Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. Didn't say everything would be good. And so I don't know about you, but maybe the not yet issue may be the hardest part of the Christian life. Just waiting upon answers to prayer, and the answer doesn't come. God sometimes says to us, I love you too much to give that to you now, or maybe not ever. And it's a struggle for all of us as we patiently wait. And so James here in James chapter 5, he really gives a couple of illustrations, not only the farmer here, but he gives the illustration of the prophets and their patience and all they went through. And so I want to just take just a moment about not yet. The farmer was an agricultural economy in those days, and so it was very relevant to talk about a farmer. Now, I love the city. How many of you love the city? I love the city. I'm a city slicker. I love the sirens blaring and horns honking and street lights shining and Papa John's delivering. Can I get an amen to all of that? Anyway, I'm a city slicker. I get out in the country when we go on a vacation. To me, the silence is deafening to me. And so I love the city. I love the city. But I do thank God for every farmer and everyone that produces all the wonderful things that we get to enjoy the blessings of God. But he gives us an illustration here of the farmer, the husbandman. He waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And he is admonishing us to wait. He hasn't come yet, but he is going to come. He's coming again, and we rejoice in that. But not just an illustration or an admonition about the coming of the Lord, but an illustration and an admonition for all of us about the things that have not happened yet. Not yet. And I gave the illustration, of course, Genesis 16, where Sarah bare Abraham no children, and you could put the word in there, yet. We all know the story of Ishmael as a result of that. 13 years later, of course, Isaac is born, but they got in a hurry about that. And so really James, by giving us the illustration of this farmer, this husbandman, is really a good illustration about being patient about what hasn't happened yet. And really, maybe one of the most practical, because he understands the need and understands the things that haven't happened yet. They're going to happen, but they're not going to happen yet, because he is reasonable about that. I've plowed and I have planted, and there is dirt out there that's got all those seeds covered up. And if someone says, do you see any results? And he would say, not yet. Not yet any results, but I know they're coming. As I said the other day, God is always at work under the dirt. For a farmer especially, you plow and you plant. He said, it's reasonable for me to understand the issue of not yet. No farmer would ever imagine that he could plant one day and tomorrow he's going to reap the harvest. He understands that. And so it's reasonable for him to say, I'm not going to be in any hurry about this thing, because I know in God's good time there will be a harvest that will come. And he also understands that no matter what I do, no matter what I do, the plowing and the planting, I've got to have an upward look. I've got to wait upon God. I've got to have some suns to rise and suns to set. And he says, I really have got to wait to heavenward, look heavenward for rain, because if it never rains, I would maybe never ever see a harvest at all if a drought comes. And so he is understanding, the farmer more than anyone else understands that there are things, even though he has plowed and even though he has planted, there are things that have to happen beyond his control. That no matter what I do, plowing and planting, the farmer would say, I've got to have help from heaven. Got to have help from God. And some of you, the things that have not happened yet, you quit praying. You've given up on praying. Well, I've been praying about that for so very long. Keep on praying about that issue, whatever it may be. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. And knock and keep on knocking. Look heavenward for the help from God. And that's the way the farmer is understanding. And then he also realizes, look, even though I've plowed and planted, I don't just go fishing. I don't just hang out at the house and watch Fox News. I don't do that. No, I've got to realize there are other things I must do. I must worry about the weeds that could come along and choke the harvest. I've got to deal with them. And there are animals that I've got to shoo away, make sure that they're not going to bother the harvest that's going to come. And there are insects that will ruin it, and I must deal with those as well. And so there are things you've got to do, even though you've plowed and planted, there's things that have got to be kept going forward. And so although the harvest hasn't come yet, you have some responsibility, even though I'm looking heavenward. And that's exactly what the husbandman, the farmer, is realizing. And then he's not going to get discouraged about it. Even though he's plowed and planted, he has all that responsibility, even in the midst of changing circumstances. You know, you have difficult circumstances. Some of you do. God is more interested in changing you into his image than he is interested in changing your circumstances that he's using to change you into his image. And that really is the issue in our lives, isn't it? We kick against what God is doing in our lives to change us into his image. And the husbandman, the farmer, he recognizes that sometimes there might be too little rain, sometimes too much rain, sometimes it might be too hot, sometimes maybe there's a late frost after he's plowed and planted and the growth is a little bit. He understands that there's going to be changing circumstances in dealing with a crop. Some of you are going through changing circumstances. You're here, many of you are homesick, wish you could be home. Our daughter in college, nearly every night she would call us and say, I'm homesick, I want to go home. And we would say, well, let's talk about it tomorrow. And she'll say, I won't want to go home in the morning, I want to go home tonight. That's the way she was. And we kept saying to her, in spite of the changing circumstances, you'll be glad when you walk across that stage and get that degree. And 4 years later, she said, you know, you were right. And I didn't want to say I told her so, but I did. It's what we dads do, you know, try to rub that point in. How many of you have probably heard your dad or mom say that to you? I know you're homesick now, but you'll be glad when you get finished, and you will. And these alumni who are here will testify to the fact that it is worth it in spite of changing circumstances. Now, why is he so willing to say not yet? Because he thinks about the results. What a wonderful thing, the results that are going to come and the rewards that's going to come. He's going to be able to sell that crop, and it's really going to be the difference between having the money to pay all the bills and food to eat for himself as well. He knows that results will come. And I want to say to you young people, results will come. Large freshman crowd, results will come. If you, even though you're thinking it hadn't happened yet, man, 4 years, that's a long time. It'll pass before you know it. I know you don't believe that, but it will. And so he's looking at results and the rewards, and he's encouraged by it. I mean, how many of you have ever eaten a homegrown tomato? a homegrown tomato. I love a tomato sandwich every once in a while. And just to have a home, you know, they're different than what you can find in the grocery store. And some of you shaking your head, yes, you know what I mean. Sometimes that tomato is just so juicy to just run down. That's what the husbandman is thinking. The farmer's thinking, you know why I can endure all of this? Too hot, too cold, too much rain, not enough rain. I got to look heavenward. It's because of the results that are going to come. As a result of the not yet, harvest hadn't come yet, but it's going to come. The farmer, he realizes some things about it in this not yet issue. He never says it's no use. He never says that because he's seen a lot of harvest come and go. And God has promised seed time and harvest and summer and winter. He's promised that. God has said it'll happen, it'll come. And so he understands that. And James calls it precious fruit. He waited for the precious fruit there in verse 7, the precious fruit of the earth. He recognizes that. And may you understand the not yets. Well, one day you'll say, man, it was precious that I waited on God to work in my life and to bring to pass what I was so bothered about that hadn't happened yet. And I'll tell you, It'll come. And in God's time, results will come. But it's in God's time. He makes everything beautiful in his time. The disciples in Acts chapter number 1, they asked, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? At this time, will you do that? They still didn't grasp the big picture that the gospel needed to be gotten out to the world and to the Gentile world and to everyone. In spite of the command they've been given, they still were bothered. Will you at this time, it may not be this year, it may not be next year, but in God's time, things will come, even though it hasn't happened yet. I hope these two words will be driven home. Not yet, not yet, not yet. I hope you'll not forget them the rest of the school year. Not yet. Not yet, but in God's good time, I'm going to see what God will do. Not yet. And then the farmer, he glorifies God when the harvest comes. He said, look, I know I had my hand in this, but I know it really has come from you, Lord. And when you see the not yets fulfilled in your life, be sure you thank the Lord. Be sure you give him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. I sat down last night. My wife has written numerous Christian fiction books, and she, as I told you yesterday, she was teaching grammar. She loves grammar and literature, and I like football and baseball. And I tell people she's Ms. Astor and I'm Disaster. That's what I am. But I sat down and wrote a poem about this. And I think she cringed a little as I read it to her, so please pardon my poetry, if you will. And I've entitled it with a question mark, Not Yet. I can't imagine why the waiting so often moves me to cry. It seems the Lord is so unfair at times when all I want is mine, what ought to be mine. Abraham and Sarah could tell us now the why when they look back on all they did try to fulfill in such a sinful way all that God had told them would happen one day. Paul would encourage us even in a storm, even though the ship was wrecked and the sails were torn. For God had promised him, you've not been to Rome yet. So Paul, no need to panic and fret. Not yet. So let's hear what Joseph has to say. No need to worry, but wait and continue to pray. For God gave me a dream when I was a teenager. So I had peace it would happen sooner or later. Not yet. The farmer has no problem understanding. He knows it takes time and patience to get a crop standing. Not ripe yet, he knows there's nothing more he can do, so no need to rush and fret and get all blue. So when the Lord says not yet, try not to feel disappointed, For the Lord has the right time set for what's been appointed. As we would yield and obey, the results will come if we don't get hasty, as has happened to some. May I say to all of you young people, it hasn't happened maybe to you, not yet, but in God's good time, don't end up like Abraham and Sarah, who got in a hurry. God had told them, I'm going to give you a son, it's going to happen. But they got in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry about things. It'll all happen, but maybe not yet.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.